Welcome to our commercial-free coverage for classrooms around the world, including those at Madison campus in Tennessee. Hope you enjoyed your trip here. I'm Carl Azus. First up this Wednesday, Nepal is reeling. Last Saturday's earthquake was its worst natural disaster in more than 80 years. Nepal is a poor country. It's just a little larger than the state of Arkansas, and one quarter of its population was affected by the quake. Officials now say at least 4,600 people were killed, 9,000 were injured, 1 million children are in need of help. The Nepalese army says at least 90% of its 96,000 troops are deployed in relief and rescue operations. They're getting help from around the world. One aid organization says the hardest part is simply reaching the villages near the quake's epicenter.
62-year-old Miley Tamang sits quietly, away from the rest of her family. It's as close as she can be to what was her home.
Miley Tamang ran out onto the balcony when suddenly this part of the building collapsed, trapping her. She did manage to claw herself free and then crawl out through there, someone helping her up the embankment. The entire roof of this part of the home collapsed, trapping her daughter-in-law, who was freed as well. And right now, this is all that remains of the home that she and her husband worked their entire lives to build.
Other families who lost everything cook lunch by the side of the road, unsure how they will rebuild or even where to start. An old man sifts through the rubble, looking for anything to salvage. We're just 30 kilometers or about 20 miles from the capital, but it takes an hour and a half by car, a luxury most who live in this rugged terrain don't have. But at least it's accessible. There are parts of Nepal so remote it takes days to reach under normal circumstances, villages one can only get to on foot. It's those areas that were hardest hit, where aid has yet to arrive, where no one really knows the full extent of human loss.
Some teachers emailed us about Maggie Doyne, a CNN hero and character study from our April 16th show. Doyne opened a home and school for kids in western Nepal. We're told they are all fine. School's out there and Doyne's in the U.S., but there's no significant damage to her home and school in Nepal. They're encouraging donations to groups helping in other parts of Nepal. A state of emergency in the eastern U.S. city of Baltimore, Maryland. The city's police department said as of yesterday afternoon, at least 235 people had been arrested. At least 20 officers had been injured. Riots started there Monday, the same day as the funeral for a 25-year-old African-American man named Freddie Gray. He died under mysterious circumstances following his arrest in mid-April. Many protesters blamed police. The first demonstrations were mostly peaceful, but earlier this week, rioters burned cars and buildings. A senior center under construction at a church burned down, and schools were closed because officials didn't think it was safe for children to be outside. The state of emergency declared by Maryland's governor on Monday night sped up the deployment of National Guard troops to Baltimore. The mayor imposed a mandatory curfew from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. For the first time in baseball history, a professional game will not be open to the public. Fans won't be allowed to see the Baltimore Orioles play the Chicago White Sox on Wednesday. Monday's and Tuesday's Orioles games were postponed. The pastor who gave the eulogy at Freddie Gray's funeral was one of dozens of religious leaders who came out and urged peace among the protesters. A number of residents joined them in trying to discourage violence and clean up the damaged parts of their city.